Who are you? And what is your identity? That's what we're going to talk about on today's broadcast of Grace in Focus. And the answer might just surprise you. We're currently in a series going through the New Testament book of 1 John. It's a little book with big implications. On today's broadcast, we're going to look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 29 through 3:3. Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar are going to help us understand our own identity as believers. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus Radio. My name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, I'm Bob Wilkin.
We have been going through the Epistle of John, 1 John, and we're in chapter 2, starting at verse 29, and we're about to... 1 John is all about living the Christian life, all right? Living it to the fullest, having the abundant life that Jesus came to give us. In the Gospel of John 10:10, Jesus said, "I came that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." And the two key terms that you would find in John's theology is if you want to have life, you believe in Jesus. And if you want to have abundant life, you need to abide in Jesus. And what does that look like in practice? That's what 1 John is all about. So we're going to start at 2:29 and we'll just see how far we get. Let me read that verse for you. Chapter 2, verse 29. "If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him."
This builds on what we've seen before in the letter. As Christ was in the world, so must we be if we are truly walking in the light. If we are truly walking like Jesus walked, then as he lived righteously, so will we. Now, this is not a statement. In fact, I don't think this whole section, 2:29 through 3:10a, I don't think it's about who's born again and who's not. I think it's about who's living like a child of God and who's not. Here he's saying, look, the one who practices righteousness, and it probably shouldn't say practice, but the Greek just says hapoion, the one who does righteousness, the one who is living righteously, has been born of God, and it's a perfect tense. And so he's been born of God in the past, and there's an abiding result that he has eternal life. So the point is, when you see someone who's living righteously, you're seeing someone who's born of God. This isn't to deny that there are non-Christians who do some good things, but they're not in God's sight living righteously, because no one is going to live righteously apart from the work of the Holy Spirit in their life and the fact that, of course, they've been born of God. So what he's suggesting in verse 29 is what he said all along, that if we're in fellowship with him, then we have to live righteously. If we're in fellowship with him and we're living unrighteously, then we're lying if we claim we're living in fellowship with him.
Now we go to chapter 3, verse 1. "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know him." And this truly is incredible, that God is not just our creator, some distant creator. He's not just a puppet master. He's not just even our king or our judge. But God loves us. God loves you. God loves you so much that he wants you to be his child, an adopted child, but his child. That's the type of relationship he wants with believers.
That's a good point. And what John is setting up here is what some people call spiritual identity. We hear a lot now about identity politics. Well, there's something called spiritual identity, too. And that is, how do you view yourself? Do you see yourself as a worm? Do you see yourself as kind of a wart on the body of Christ? Or do you see yourself as a victorious Christian? Well, if you recognize that you are a child of God, that's what he's starting in 3:1, 3:2, then you recognize that's who you are.
Right. And I think this is so important, because people try to find their identities nowadays. They try to find their identity, their sense of value, their sense of worth in all kinds of different things in society, don't they? They try to find it in their career. They want the right type of job so that they feel worthwhile.
Right.
Or in the school that they go to, or the degree that they have, or the relationships that they're in. Think of all these kind of movie stars trying to find validation by dating supermodels,
right,
or dating a sports figure or something like that. Or people try to find validation and worth in their bank accounts. They're trying to find justification and a sense of value and a sense of worth in all kinds of different ways. But as believers, all of those other things that we might be are absolutely relative to our eternal identity.
Which is?
If you believed in Jesus for eternal life, you are a loved child of God. Nothing else matters compared to that.
Right. And where John's going here is that we need to live like who we are. And that starts with seeing ourselves as who we are. We're in exalted status. If you were, let's say, the child of the President of the United States, wouldn't that have a phenomenal impact on your sense of responsibility, on the sense of how I should live? I mean, I'm the president's daughter. I'm the president's son. If you were the child of the Queen of England, it would have an influence on the way you think of yourself.
Right, and people would remind you if they saw you,
right.
Maybe you're straying a little bit. They'd say, remember who you are.
Right.
You're not just anybody. You are this.
And John is reminding these people, and they're not straying, but he's reminding them. And in fact, in verse 2, notice he goes on to say, beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now, what's amazing here is several things. First of all, he's saying, look, no matter how righteous we are now, we're still falling short of what we will be when Jesus returns. We don't have glorified bodies now. We don't have sinless bodies right now. So we still fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned, past tense and present tense, all fall short of the glory of God. But he says, when he appears, we will be like him. Notice the reason. For we will see him as he is. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 3:18, we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, that's the Bible, the glory of the Lord, that's the beauty of Jesus, are being transformed into the same image by the work of the Spirit. Well, notice the transformation comes by seeing Jesus. Well, that's true in this life, and it's ultimately true when Jesus appears and we see him, then we will be sinless. But right now, we're called to live in light of who we are and who we will be.
And I think part of who we are, and John's going to talk about this in verse 9, that the moment you believe in Jesus for eternal life, you are born again. Something really does change in you. There is a born again part of you that's in your inner man, Paul calls it, and John's going to have his own term for this. Part of this transformation we can see in this life is having our body, having our flesh come into subjection to that inner reality, right? It's like
right.
The life, that inner man, renewed life we have gets expressed outwardly. We don't really see that now. I mean, we don't see that. We see it a little bit, but John is saying there's going to come a time when it's going to be fully revealed and you're going to be totally changed.
Right. And between now and then, the way in which we manifest righteousness is by the Word of God renewing our minds. And that transforms our behavior, right? Romans 12:2. So where John is going here is that we are children of God. One day we will be absolutely sinless, but for right now we can sin less and less, and we can manifest righteousness more and more and more.
So believer, change your mind about your identity in Christ. You are a loved child of God who is going to be even more transformed in the future. So live in light of that truth.
Right.
Right. All right. And verse 3 continues, and everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. So John is talking about, if you have a hope, that's a belief that you have. And this is not like a hope, like I hope I win the lottery.
Right.
This is a hope that's built on God's certain promise.
Exactly. This is the word elpis, or the verb is elpizo. And in Greek, most of the time it refers to something which is certain, but yet future.
Mm-hmm.
And so here, it's certain that when Christ returns, we'll be like him, for we will see him as he is. And so, as we fix our mind on that, in other words, we realize that's certain. Then, as we fix our mind on that, that changes our day-to-day behavior.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he's talking about here. Everyone who has this hope, or this certainty of this future in him, purifies himself just as he is pure. We become more like Christ the more we focus on him and his soon return.
I was talking to a chaplain in the Army, and he was stationed overseas in Korea, and he knew he'd be overseas for a year away from his wife. But he knew he would be reunited with his wife in a year. He knew it. And so unlike other Army guys who started getting girlfriends on the side and acting, you know, in unchristian ways, he knew he'd be reunited with his wife. So he lived in faithfulness to her. His behavior changed based on that hope, that expectation. And I think in the same way, Christians, we should know we're going to be united with Christ soon. And we should change our behavior based on that certain hope.
Exactly. And if you remember, in the entire Old Testament, Israel was often accused of spiritual harlotry, right? Because Israel would go after idols and foreign gods. And God called that spiritual harlotry. Well, we're the bride of Christ. If we're going after the world and the flesh and the ways of the devil, well, then we're displeasing God. And in the verses which we'll look at next time, in verses 4 through 10a, it's all about sin and the child of God. And as you mentioned, I think verse 9 is an absolutely pivotal passage. There's about nine different interpretations as to what 1 John 3:9 means, and we'll talk about it. But I agree with you. I think it's talking about the fact that in our inner selves, we are holy people, and that's who we are at the core of ourselves.
Well, I hope that you guys have been following us on your local radio stations or on iTunes or on Stitcher. Just look for Grace and Focus, or go to our website, faithalone.org/radio, and you'll be able to follow along all of our podcasts in this series and the other series that we've done and will do. We hope that you'll tune in next time. Take care.
Thank you, Bob and Sean, for that great reminder that we are the children of God. I know that brings a lot of assurance to my heart and my mind. If you enjoyed today's program, I want to encourage you to come visit us at our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. Now, we've got all kinds of free resources, but one that I'm sort of partial to, there's one series in particular that was pretty formative for me. It's a series in which Bob and Sean sit down and discuss different topics concerning the gospel and faith. We've got all kinds of teaching videos just like these on our website. They're free of cost, and they're waiting for you to come and take advantage. We also have other free resources along with a great bookstore packed with books that can help you grow. If you're like me, I like to support things that I believe in, and the Grace Evangelical Society is a good example of that. If you'd like to give a tax-deductible donation to the ministry to help us continue doing what we're doing, in fact, that's exactly how we stay on the air, through generous donations from listeners like you. Maybe you've got questions or comments. Maybe you've got feedback for what you think of the show. If that's the case, I'm going to give you our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. We would love to hear from you. On tomorrow's show, we're going to discuss what a child of God should act like. Tune in for that fascinating subject tomorrow. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until then, let's keep grace in focus.